Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For me, this passage of scripture from Hosea this morning is one of the most moving passages of the Bible. It speaks of God's overwhelming love for us in the metaphor of a mother or father's love for their child. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? My heart won't let me do it. My love for you is too strong. Aren't those amazing words? Read that passage with your name in the place of Israel. At times, it can bring tears to my eyes. So on the basis of that amazing love, we accept Madison into the church family and into the church of Jesus Christ that stretches all around the world, knowing that while we may falter, God will not. Now I have a question for you this morning. Has anyone here ever had money problems? Anybody? Anybody here ever worried about money? Occasionally, maybe? Thank you. It's nice to know I'm not alone. In our passage of scripture today, a brother comes and asks Jesus to intervene in a family squabble over an inheritance. Margot's a lawyer, and let me tell you, lots of families have squabbles over inheritance. Keeps them busy. You know what was not uncommon in Jesus' day was to ask a respected rabbi to intervene in these cases. Please notice that Jesus calls him a friend. He also refuses to get involved in the squabble, but rather uses it as an opportunity to teach people about the place of money and possessions in our lives. Now, have you ever noticed that when you start talking about money in the church, the room goes incredibly quiet? Yeah, exactly. Why is it we're so afraid to talk about money in the church? Are we afraid we'll spill over some of the emotional baggage of money discussions we've had at home and elsewhere? Now, out of curiosity, what do you think is the biggest topic that Jesus talked about? Thank you, I heard money. Any other guesses? You're very close. Money was the second most important thing Jesus talked about. Do you know what the first was? God's love, thank you. Anything else? The kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything else. Now, I think it's unfortunate he didn't give us a step-by-step description of what that kingdom was. He just kept telling stories and give us lots of hints of what it might look like. Here are some statistics. Out of 38 parables, 16 are about money and possessions. Almost half. There's 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. Less than 500 about faith. Any guesses about how many about money? Over 2,000. Four times as many about about faith or prayer. Wow. So why are we so afraid to talk about it? And why does it send shivers up the minister's spine when he finally gets brave enough to do it? Okay? Where your treasure is, your... Yeah. Your heart is. Another way of saying that is where your money is, your heart is. So I have a question for you. this morning. Does anybody here remember how to write a check? Thank you. Does anybody still write checks? A few. Wow, I'm impressed. My son doesn't even know what a check is. Okay? We have e-transfers, pre-authorized debits. I write a lot fewer checks than I used to. But I remember one day a month, I used to sit down, get out my utility bill, my phone bill, my gas bill, my envelope for the church, and write out a check for each one of them. Can anybody remember doing that? You know? I don't do that anymore. All of those are automatic withdrawals. Now, Jesus tells us to guard against greed, that your true life is made up, is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you are. Your true life is not about stuff. You can collect it and collect it and collect it, and then what you do to it? Thank you. That's right. You bring it to the rummage sale. You clean out room in your house so you can do what? Buy some more stuff. Absolutely. What do you think your true life is about? Love. Thank you. Anything else? Giving. Thank you. Anything else? Family. Thank you. Anything else? Developing an inner life. A relationship with God. Caring, sharing, getting involved in your community to build more caring communities, to see that our world reflects the kingdom of God, having a life with purpose and making a positive difference. Do you remember what the rich man did with his bumper crop? Thank you, stored it, put it in barns. What did he have to do first? Thank you. He had to tear down the old ones to make even bigger ones. Do you remember what he said to himself? Thank you. He can retire. Yeah. Lucky man. You've got all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy yourself. Sounds good. Please notice the man, rich man, never once thought of sharing his bumper crop or giving some to another person in need. He never said, God has richly blessed me. Now who can I help? Who can I bless? Do you remember what happened to him that night? Thank you, he died. Do you remember what the gospel said happened to his stuff? Who then will get all this stuff that you've kept for yourself? Have you ever had to clean out a house after a person has died? Yeah, what do you do with all the stuff? Donate it, thank you. Please notice, no mention of this man being doomed or going to hell. He's just asking, who then will get all your stuff? How important is it? Jesus is challenging listeners, especially the friend who asked Jesus to intervene in the inheritance squabble, to use some of his stuff, some of his blessings that God had given him, to help others in the community. How much is enough? Have you ever asked that question? How much is enough to make you feel secure? Can you ever totally protect yourself from the chaos of the world? What did it say in that account? Who by worrying about your life can live a little bit longer? Somewhere trust has to come in. William Barclay quotes a Romans proverbs that said, money was like seawater. The more a man drank, the thirstier he became. He went on to say, so long as a person's attitude is that of the rich fool, their desire will always be to get more and more and more. which is the reverse of the Christian way. Giving it away, giving up his life. How much is enough? Anybody here ever been at the Joseph Brandt Hospital? Thank you. One day, I went for coffee on the way out, and I went out the old entranceway. Okay, got out the old entranceway, turned left, you follow the sidewalk around, and usually I follow the roadway next to the, retirement home. But this day, I noticed another path. There's some woods there, and I looked and said, oh, that'll get me pretty close to the parking garage, so why don't I go this way today? And along that path, there were pillars. And there was a plaque, and I read the plaque. And it talked about pillars of the community. And on those pillars was either the name of an individual or an organization and what they gave for the new wing of the hospital. Here was an example of people of means in this community that decided not to build bigger barns, but to give back and to help the community. Jesus would be pleased. Now, the proper use of material things is a major theme in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which we believe is the same writer. Jesus was born of humble parents. Do you remember where? Stable, in a barn. Mary's Magnificat says, the poor will be filled with good things and the rich will be sent empty away. His inaugural sermon in his hometown, don't try this out because you might end up over the cliff, spoke of bringing good news to the poor and about how God used outsiders to bless community. Whoa, you don't say that to the home crowd. In his version of the Beatitudes, Luke says, blessed are the poor. Do you know what it says in Matthew? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you notice the difference? Poor, you're living on the street, poor in spirit. See, Matthew was trying to soften it up a little. It's almost as if Matthew knew how uncomfortable we would be talking about money. You see, Jesus told his followers that life was not just about amassing possessions, building bigger barns and houses, going on more cruises. And drats, I hate that because I love going on cruises. Anybody else like going on cruises here? Absolutely, thank you. But rather, strive towards the kingdom of God. Creating community where everyone is lifted up and everyone's needs are taken care of. Jesus says, wrestle with the difference between riches on earth and riches in heaven. So how do you get riches in heaven? Now you need to know in Luke, he hasn't got, a thing against rich people. Okay, you need to know that. He does not reject a person simply because of their wealth. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Was he rich or poor? He was very rich. Jesus goes to his home and eats with them, much to the dismay of the crowd. What Jesus does reject is those who store up things only for themselves and forget their neighbor in need at their doorstep. The story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Do you want to grow in your love towards God? Do you want to know how to love God back? Then share of your abundance with those around you, the poor, and you will store up riches in heaven. So why would Jesus then make this shocking statement to his followers? I'm sure you heard it, and I'm sure you probably went, I don't want to hear that. Sell all your belongings and give your money to the who? The poor, thank you. Any idea why Jesus may have said that? I think part of it is to start to have a trust in God. We can't do it all on our own. But Jesus also knew, even in his day, people need money to go to the market to buy food. They would need money to get a pair of sandals. They would need money to go to the market and get a shirt, you know? So why did he tell them to sell everything they had? Another suggestion can be, Jesus wants people to know this is serious stuff he's talking about. That he's talking about heart issues. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Absolutely. Do you want to soften up your heart a little? How many people here would like to be more kind, more loving, more compassionate, more generous? Would you like to live in a close-knit community that takes care of one another and helps one another? Thank you. Then Jesus says, loosen your grip on your stuff. Because if you totally focus on your stuff, you will never be able to notice a person in need beside you and figure out how to help them. I'm glad Margot's not here today because I'm going to say, has anyone ever tried to find something in a woman's purse? Yeah. Did you have much luck, John? Declined to answer. You're a smart man. I gave the purse back to Margot and said, it's here somewhere. Could you get it for me, please? You know? I love what the author said about providing for yourselves purses that don't wear out. The more stuff you put in your purse, the heavier it becomes, the greater the chance it's going to wear out. The straps will break. Maybe it'll drag on the ground, you know, and the friction. You want your purse not to wear out? Lighten the load. Take some stuff out of it. Give away some of your possessions and your money to help others. In this passage of scripture today, Jesus is challenging his listeners to do serious heart work. That loving God back means taking the time to wrestle with what we give to God's work in the world when we figure out our budgets. One author said, how much do you value gathering together each week in worship? Gathering together for prayer? How much value do you put on the outreach ministries that happen through this church? Young families through the Vacation Bible Camp and the Christmas Eve family service? What value do you put on visiting the sick and taking care of the lonely that happens through this church? What value do you put on end-of-life care for families and loved ones that happens through this community of faith? What value do you put on gathering with others to join in outreach ministries, having this place to focus on outreach ministries? Now, loving God back doesn't mean only financially supporting your local church, but please do. Can also include other organizations in the community that helps others. It may be a charity that is close to your heart because you have been touched in some way by the cause that it represents. Heart and stroke, cancer, MS, addictions, the Women's Emergency Center, the list goes on. What we are asked to do is to look into these things. Then I would challenge you not just to write a check for the food bank, but actually go down to the food bank and see what happens there. And talk to some of the people. Maybe even find out if you can help in any way. Become personally involved. Loving God back means doing some serious heart work as we wrestle with the gifts of our time, our talent, and financial resources to help build this kingdom of God that Jesus constantly talked about on earth as it is in heaven, to build that caring community that reflects God's love and care, especially for those at the margins. Jesus was constantly hanging out with people at the margins or at the bottom. And how do we take care of them? Thanks be to God. Amen.